Good morning. I think we probably all heard this story before. Some of us have heard it many, many times. And it's one of those stories that is one of the big famous ones that even people who aren't Christians or don't go to church, they're probably familiar with this story just through pop culture. Living in a Christian or a post-Christian society, it's just sort of still in the air. So when I saw this scripture as the primary scripture in the lectionary for this Sunday and decided to preach on it, I actually hesitated. I was like, I'm not sure I want to preach on this. I'm not sure I've got anything to say about this because we've all heard the story so many times, and we all sort of know what the interpretation of this story is. I obviously did decide to preach on it, but I want to go in a little bit different direction. And not to undercut the established interpretation of the text, but maybe give it a little bit of another angle. But first, just a quick plot summary overview of what we've heard. So the younger son, he goes off and he wastes half of his family's estate in what the Bible calls dissolute living. You can just let your imagination fill in the gaps there. Meanwhile, the older son stays at home, keeps working hard, takes care of his dad. And finally, the younger son gets himself into so much trouble that it says he comes to himself, he wakes up and says, oh, wow, it would be better if I went back and worked as a hired hand at home than living this life. So when he arrives back at home, presumably in rags and having squandered half of his family's estate, Dad welcomes him back with open arms and even throws him a party. So at this point, the older brother gets upset, right? He says, why is this good-for-nothing brother of mine being rewarded for his bad behavior? I've been here slaving away for you this whole time he's been out, wasting everything. You never threw a party for me. And Dad explains, of course, we have to celebrate. We thought your brother was dead, and now he's back to life. He was lost, and now he's found. So the standard interpretation of this passage focuses on the amazing way that the father, who clearly represents God, turns the tables on his two sons, showing abundant love for the repentant prodigal, despite all his disrespect and evil doing. And there's deep disrespect in the story. To go to your father and say, give me my inheritance. In those days, that was to say, I want nothing more to do with you. Our relationship is over. So a lot of disrespect, a lot of evil doing here. But the standard interpretation, which is correct, interprets the older brother as being like the religious folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and people like us who come to church on Sunday morning. People who are tempted to think that we're better than others because we follow the rules, we do the stuff, we read the books. And this, again, is a fair reading of the story. This is probably the best way to look at it. Jesus was telling a story about the holier-than-thou, goody-two-shoe hypocrisy that the Pharisees and other religious people were demonstrating then, and still do, unfortunately, in many cases. But let's look at the other angle that I see when I read this story, which is, one angle is, don't be the older brother who judges his younger brother. Don't be the older brother who can't celebrate when the younger brother comes home. But the other angle is, don't be the prodigal son. The prodigal son is not the hero of the story. The dad is the hero of the story. Both of the sons are screw-ups. Both of them have got it wrong. The prodigal son has really messed up his life. And the consequences of his actions don't just go away just because he asked for forgiveness. What's commendable in the prodigal son, what makes him different from his older brother, is that he actually repents. He actually comes to himself and realizes what the situation is. He understands that his selfishness and greed have been so destructive that he's no longer worthy to be called his father's son. He doesn't get forgiveness because that's not true. He gets forgiveness because that is true. So when the father clarifies at the end of the story, when he comforts the older brother, he says, "Son, you're always with me, and all that's mine is yours." The consequences didn't go away. The younger brother gets nothing. He's probably going to be a hired hand, and his brother gets the rest of the estate. The father's not going to subdivide it again. And while I think the main interpretation of the story that we've all heard is the more important one, there is more, which is that God is not just a God of forgiveness, but God also is a God of justice. He's a great forgiver and healer, but he's also a God who created a world where our actions have consequences. We can actually screw things up. We have free will. God forgives us when we screw up. The repentant evildoer returns home and is a part of the family again. The father rejoices over him and loves him with everything in his being. But the estate goes to the older brother. Choices have consequences. And this is important to understand, whether or not you identify more with the prodigal or with the older brother. Because seeing that the path of the prodigal son is a difficult one, that the prodigal son didn't just get off scot-free, is helpful for some of us who maybe identify, or at least should identify more, with the older brother, and see how we can avoid being so judgy of the prodigal. Because the prodigal son is really suffering. He really will have to deal with the mess he made. In God's time, and with God's love, but there's no free pass. There's no just instant reset button. The Father's love doesn't erase the past, but it does give us the opportunity to start again and to be a part of the family. This has implications for us as a church community, because we're a place, we're a community, we're a people who are called to demonstrate God's abundant love. We're called to throw big parties for people who have come, who have messed up really big, but have realized what they did and have come back home. And that's been all of us at some point, right? We've all been the older brother. We've all been the prodigal. We're also a community where each one of us is called to responsibility. We're a church where we speak the truth in love. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes it means we need to change. Sometimes it means that we have to realize that the path to redemption is making amends for the harm that we've done. Being a community in Christ means throwing the party when the prodigal returns. It also means being a community where the prodigal can find meaningful work to do the next day. The kingdom of God is one in which we give what we have to help others, and we take responsibility for our actions. And though I like the primary interpretation of this passage better, I think it's the best one to lead with, I think this is a message that we need to hear now too. Because in our culture, the majority message that we get is, live your bliss, you do you. Well, it's not very good advice. The prodigal lived his bliss, and he did him, and it ended disastrously. And it was only when he remembered home, and remembered family, and remembered the love and discipline of his father, that he came to his senses and found his way back to wholeness. And it was a path that he would need to continue walking for the rest of his life. And this is the same path that's laid out for each of us. We have an opportunity to acknowledge the harm that we've done to others and the ways in which we've abandoned God and served our own appetites and egos. We have a chance to return home and be welcomed with open arms. In the Father's house, we're a family, and there's community and forgiveness here. But the next morning, after the feasting is done, it's time to get to work. It's time to care for others. It's time to make amends to the people that we've hurt along the way. It's time to stop blaming others and take responsibility. Just as Jesus laid down his life and his ego for us, we're called to do the same for others. Like Jesus, we're called to become brothers and sisters who welcome the prodigal home with open arms.